Police have put out a warrant for your arrest. Well, as one of the True Woman conferences opened a few years ago, those are the words that were running through the mind of a woman we'll call Susan.
So the entire way through the first session, I was like frantic.
Welcome to Indianapolis and True Woman 2012. You excited to be here?
Right before the conference began, Susan got a text from her husband saying that the police were looking for her. As you can imagine, she had a hard time focusing on the conference.
And I was like, man, this is just has to be an attack of the enemy to keep me from being able to hear what God has to say for me.
It was a dramatic beginning to what was going to be a very dramatic conference experience.
How about that?
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast for Thursday, July 28th, 2016.
When the Lord puts a difficult task in front of you, how do you come up with the strength to take action? Well, I believe today's program will encourage you to say, yes, Lord, when He's prompting you to take on even the most difficult of tasks. This story has a lot of twists and turns. I think it'll challenge you to be looking for opportunities that God may be giving you to get involved in other people's lives. It's one example of what often happens at a True Woman conference. As we're preparing for these conferences, we work hard to make sure that you will hear solid biblical teaching. And we also like to give time for reflection, time to respond and say, yes, Lord. And we also like to bring you creatively meaningful moments. But God has a way of doing far more than we could have possibly planned. And He's always writing individual stories, sometimes surprising stories, in the women who attend. Space is limited at this year's True Woman 16 conference. It's coming to Indianapolis September 22nd through 24th. To find out if there's still space left, visit us at reviveourhearts.com. And don't forget that you can join the conference by live stream September 22nd through 24th. Now let's hear one dramatic story of what God did in one woman's heart at True Woman.
Thanks, Nancy. Let's begin by explaining that text from her husband. The one that said, the police are looking for you. It all began when she was traveling from her home to the True Woman conference. Along the way, she stopped to buy gas.
I paid with my debit card, went inside, went to the bathroom, walked back outside.
The problem was the attendant at the gas station thought Susan had driven off without paying for her gas.
Apparently what had happened was a delivery truck had pulled up and she hadn't seen me pay with a debit card, but the next car after me had been the one that didn't pay.
Now when someone drives off without paying, things go into action fast. The police
put an APB out on you.
That's an all-points bulletin.
So that if they see you, they pull you over.
Susan hadn't been pulled over, but someone did track down her home phone number. That's why her husband texted her. And it's why she was distracted that Thursday night at True Woman 12.
Digging through my purse, trying to find my receipt, which I did. And then I just had a really hard time concentrating and, you know, everything just because it was... You know, this news just was dropped on me. So after the session, I called my husband and called the gas station and got it all worked out, and everything worked out fine. But during that session, I could not concentrate at all. And I was like, man, this is just has to be an attack of the enemy to keep me from being able to hear what God has to say for me.
The next day, Susan volunteered in the Resource Center and attended all the sessions she could. She ate a lunch she had packed from home. But at dinner time, she headed to the nearby mall. Her family had a tradition of eating pizza every Friday night, and she knew her husband and kids would be following the tradition at home.
So it was my goal to go to the mall and find a pizza place and call my family and be like, hey, I'm having pizza with you.
Susan didn't intend on spending much time in the food court.
But the girl at the table behind me was on the phone with her boyfriend. She was pretty animated and loud. And she was, you know, she's saying, you know, you got me into this mess. You're going to have to get me out. You better get down here on Thursday and pick me up to bring me to my abortion. And they were fighting and things like that. And I heard it. And it was just really strong on my heart to talk to her. But I didn't want to interrupt her phone call. And she's a stranger. And, you know, all these things are going through your head of like, if I interrupt her, she's going to think that Christians are nuts. So I turned around after she had, you know, was quieting down. I turned around and she actually waved at me and like with a sheepish sorry look of, you know, like, sorry I was being loud and yelling.
Everyone in the food court was able to pick up details of this loud conversation.
Her boyfriend didn't really want to come pick her up because he thought it would make him flunk out of school. And she said, 2 days ain't going to make you flunk out of school. She said, I don't want to raise another baby on my own. I can't take care of two kids. And she was just really, really upset. And she said, it wasn't my choice to kill our baby. So she already had in her head, this is a baby. It wasn't one of those people who are like, it's a fetus, it's not even alive. She knew this is a baby. The woman is already a mother. She already has a baby. She knows what it is to hold a baby and to love a baby. So, like, it was just tearing me apart.
Susan wanted to stay and talk with this woman. But while waiting for her to hang up, she didn't want to just sit there eavesdropping.
I actually got up and threw my things away because I didn't want to just sit there by myself with a tray full of empty wrappers. And there were two ladies at a table that was next to me that were from the conference because I saw their bags.
Every attendee received a True Woman tote bag. Susan started to get the advice of these other women. She told them the burden she was feeling for this woman on the phone.
I feel like I need to talk to her, but she's still on the phone. And one of the ladies is like, you know what I just do in this situation? I just pray that God will send somebody to talk to her. And she's like, that's what we need to do. We need to just pray that somebody will be able to be there for her.
But Susan couldn't shake the thought, what if I'm that person? But she had some reservations.
I didn't want to make her think, wow, these Christians are crazy. Psycho ladies over here coming up to me at the table. I didn't want that to happen. And that was my biggest fear, actually, was I didn't want to embarrass the Lord.
But she couldn't shake the sense that the Lord wanted her to get involved.
In my heart, I'm just like struggling because I am not the person to like walk up to a stranger and be like, I'm going to talk to you about abortion. I don't even do that like with people that I do know. And so it was a huge struggle inside, and I just really felt led to talk to her. And I was like, if I don't talk to her, this is going to happen on Thursday. Who will? This is less than a week away. And I said, I don't know what the other voices in her life are. And so it was really deep, and I was like almost sick to my stomach for not having done it yet. I was like starting to shake and everything. So it was just overwhelming. The ladies looked over and she's like, I think she's off the phone now. And that's whenever I took the chance to go and talk to her. Like, I didn't have time to think or feel. I'm on a mission. I have to do this. If I don't do it now, I'm going to miss my opportunity. Or I was like, hi, you have no idea who I am, but I would really like to talk to you. And I told her, I said, I overheard your phone conversation. And she's like, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to be so loud. And she apologized to me. And I was like, no, I am so happy that I heard it because now I can actually talk to you. I said, you know, I know that you're going through something really tough right now, and I just want to encourage you to know that there are other things out there other than abortion. And when I told her that adoption is available, she was like shocked. She didn't even realize it was an option. She's like, oh my goodness, I never even thought of that. I was like, oh, yes, that is another option. You don't have to raise this baby by yourself. You don't have to have an abortion either. And she honestly told me, she said, I don't really want to have an abortion, but my boyfriend told me I had to, and I really don't want to raise another baby. I mean, I think so many people don't have any idea of the risks that come along with it. Not just the aftermath, but like you're undergoing a medical procedure that's risky, and they don't even... It's not advertised because it's bad for abortion business. She was in shock, and I said, you will regret this every day of your life. And I said, I know, because I had an abortion 7 years ago.
With those words, Susan opened up a painful story that she had hardly shared with anyone. The story began on what was one of the best days of Susan's life, and it was also one of the worst. On that day, Susan came to faith in Christ, and later that night, she was raped.
For the last 7 years, my heart cry to God has been, God, why did you let this happen to me? I mean, that was the day that I gave my life to you, and it happened that night. And why didn't you rescue me? I thought you loved your daughters. Why didn't you do something?
Some weeks after the assault, Susan knew something was wrong. She visited a doctor.
And I went in to find out if I had an STD. They did a test on me. For an STD test, they also did a pregnancy test. I had no idea I was pregnant at all. They did not tell me I was pregnant. They gave me a pill. They said, this will make your cycle start up. So I took the pill and I passed a clot with severe cramping that was the size of a little bigger than a grapefruit. And 22 days later, I went back to them because I was still bleeding. And I said, something is wrong. You need to give me a pill to make me stop bleeding. And they said, oh no, honey, that's normal when you have an abortion. And that was the moment that I found out that I had had an abortion, that I had been pregnant. And it was devastating to me because I'm pro-life and have been my whole life. The thought that I might be pregnant from that had not even entered my mind. And I was young and had no idea. But whenever I found out, I still lived with regret of, why didn't I think? What was I not thinking for? Why did I let them give me medicine without asking more questions? You know, that baby would have been born right about the time that I got married to my husband. How would that have worked? I would have felt like Mary at the time. I mean, by the way, darling, I'm pregnant and you know it's not yours and so do I. But, you know, I still would have wanted to be able to make sure that nobody died in the process. I didn't think enough to try to make life be able to happen.
For years, Susan never told her husband what had happened, but he knew there was something that needed to be resolved.
Finally, one day, he's like, you need to tell me what's going on. And I was like, I need to tell you, but I don't know if I can. And so whenever I finally opened up and told him, he was like, we need to unpack this and work through it. And he was very supportive about it.
Susan's husband knew a Christian counselor they both trusted, and they went through a process about being very honest about what had happened. And Susan came to a place of forgiving those who had wronged her, just like she had been forgiven. She knew what it was to be free from bitterness and resentment. And let me pause and say, this point is crucial. If you can relate to the intense hurt of something like this, visit reviveourhearts.com and take a look at today's transcript. We'll post some links and resources to help you find freedom through forgiveness, and also some resources on healing from abuse and dealing with the aftermath of abortion. Susan's story seemed to make a big impression on the woman in the food court considering abortion.
And she was like in shock. And she's like, well, I don't even know where I could go. I have no idea who I could even talk to or anything. And I said, you know, there are places like crisis pregnancy centers and things like that. You're in Indianapolis. It's a big city. I know that you can find something here. And she said, you say crisis pregnancy center? And I said, yeah. She said, there's one like right down the road from me. I didn't know what that was. I said, would you please just think about going? And she's like, I am going on Monday. So she's going to go and talk to somebody. The one thing she said about adoption was, I don't know if I ever, she's like, I don't think I could do it once I hold that baby. I don't know if I could actually give it up. And I said, honey, you're already holding the baby. And she almost broke down in tears whenever she said, I know. So it was really heartbreaking. I gave her my phone number at home and I told her, I want you to call me whenever you make a decision, because she still has that decision to make. She hasn't made a decision one way or another yet, but she wants to go and talk to somebody about how to get help through this. And it was really encouraging. And I know that she still has to go and talk to that boyfriend, and she still has to deal with him and his decisions and telling her, you know, you have to do this or you can do whatever you want. I don't know what her situation is, but I know that she's going to have a lot of voices in coming into her life within the next week that hopefully the right answer can come through to her and she'll make a wise choice and a wise decision.
At this point, Susan had hardly told anyone her story. But on this day, sitting in the food court in the mall, she realized that maybe her vulnerability could be used by God in the life of a single mom facing a big decision.
So this was the first time ever in my life that I have been able to see God take my absolute worst circumstance in my life and actually use it for good.
He sees you, my friend, and he will use the parts of your life that you feel are useless.
Later that night at True Woman, Priscilla Shire spoke about God's ability to take the broken pieces in your life and use them in powerful ways.
Here's what you need to know. The season of your life that you're trying to pray your way out of, that you wish you could circumvent, that you're trying to figure out why in the world does the Lord have me here, that segment of your life, even the segment that is a consequence of your own choices, your own bad decisions, my own sin and rebellion, he has a way of using that platform and making it a pulpit that he proclaims to others how great he is, how powerful he is, and how worthy he is to be praised.
The message that evening that Priscilla gave, I was like, she's talking about me. How did she find out what happened today?
The Holy Spirit can take one message and divide it 8,000 different ways so that everybody gets it in a very personal, practical way that matters to them. I mean, one speaker can't do that. The Holy Spirit can divide it up into everybody's heart so that not only that it matters to them, but because he's omniscient and knows what's coming in the next days and weeks of our lives and can already have that word nestled in their heart to apply to what's going to happen on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, the very fact that that can happen is a testament to the fact that the word is alive, living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So to know that the Lord would use that message to infiltrate the life of a woman that was in the mall that I might never meet is just completely humbling and honoring that we get to serve a God that is that great and that personal and cares about so many of us, all of us, so individually.
People need to hear not only the testimony that comes out of our mouth, they need to see the transformation in our lives. They need to see folks that can say, look at me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I can see. I once was deaf, but now I can hear. Look at my life and how Jesus has stepped in to the portion of my journey that I never thought he'd be able to do anything useful with.
I was like, I got to see God use my absolute worst for his glory.
On Saturday, as the True Woman Conference came to a close, our team asked Susan for an interview. She thought the questions would be like,
did you have fun at conference this week? Had no idea.
She didn't know our team had heard about what had happened at the mall.
I actually, until you asked me, I didn't know what the interview was going to be about.
And again, she had to decide, am I going to keep the story of my brokenness to myself, or am I going to share it with the Revive Our Hearts audience in faith that God could use the story to encourage others? And she decided to share the story with you. I hope you'll think about Susan's story next time you sense the Lord prompting you to get involved in someone's life.
God can use all of the portions of our journey, those platforms that we'd rather abandon, those platforms we'd rather not even have in our life, those situations that were devastating or are still devastating right now in your life. You need to know he's going to use that for his glory and for your good.
Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth is back to reflect on the story we've heard today.
I'm so thankful that the Lord can take our most painful episodes and use them in the lives of others. You may have your own darkest day, just as Susan did. Perhaps you're asking the Lord, why did you let this happen? Let me encourage you to offer up that hurt as an offering that the Lord could use in some powerful ways. like Susan, perhaps you need to forgive your offenders as you've been forgiven. And then ask God to use your story to change the course of someone else's life. We often pray and ask the Lord to take women deeper in their walk with Him when they attend a True Woman conference or as they're watching the live stream. He sure did that in Susan's life. And I'm praying that He'll do that in your life when you join us in Indianapolis, September 22nd through 24th for True Woman 16. I'll be joined there by Janet Parshall, Mary Cassie and Russell Moore, Stephen Kendrick, the producer of the movie War Room, and many others. And remember that when you attend True Woman, you'll also have the opportunity to sign up for a practical, helpful pre-conference track. There's several of those pre-conference tracks that you can select from. You can learn how to pray more effectively. You can learn how God has moved in revival in the past and what that would mean for our day. You can learn how to engage in our culture with grace and truth. And there'll be a track on the value of women's friendships and mentoring woman to woman. If you've already registered for the conference, let me encourage you to go back and add one of those pre-sessions to your registration. To get all the details on how you can register for True Woman or how you can join us on the live stream, visit us at reviveourhearts.com.
Thanks, Nancy. What is the value of praying together in a group versus praying by yourself? Author Megan Hill has studied this, and she'll be here to talk about it tomorrow. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. To close our time today, we're going to hear more from the message that meant so much to Susan. Here's Priscilla Shire from True Woman 12.
The sovereignty of God means that He is in control of every single thing that has happened on the spectrum of time and in history. That you and me, we're not here by chance, which means that what happened to you last week or the day before you left to come here, it was a shock to you, but it wasn't a shock to God. Because He's sovereign. I want to suggest that if He's calling you to the deep, it's because it is a divine setup for Him to demonstrate His glory and His power. The risky place of faith is sometimes where that happens. I mean, think about it in the scriptures. Can you imagine how Noah must have looked building an ark? Especially when folks said, "What's an ark?" "I don't know." "What's rain?" "I don't know." Can you imagine how silly Moses must have looked stretching out that rod over a big old body of water as if it would actually accomplish something? Can you just picture Sarah shopping in the maternity department at Kmart on the promise that she would bear a son in her old age? Can you catch a glimpse of David facing an enormous giant with nothing more than a slingshot and 5 smooth stones in his hands? I want you to look at the Israelites walking around the walls of Jericho for 7 days with the inhabitants looking out at them as the strange people who were waging war in a way they had never, ever seen before. What about Esther going into the king against protocol in hopes of saving her people? Or Caleb at the age of 85, refusing the retirement package, continuing again to journey onward to Canaan? Or the wise men following a simple star talking about, "We're going to go see the Messiah." Or Peter stepping out of the boat when there was no solid surface to stand on. Or the little boy with only 2 simple loaves and fish. Or the woman with an issue of blood approaching Jesus. Or blind Bartimaeus being willing to call out to Jesus in the midst of a crowd that was telling him to be quiet. Or Mary, a pregnant teenager, saying, "An angel did it." And the illustration of all illustrations, think about Jesus Himself, how foolish He would have appeared to others as He hung on a cross because He claimed to an unbelieving people to be the Messiah. All of them would have looked foolish except that it did rain and Noah's ark did become a refuge and offer salvation. Moses' rod did divide the Red Sea. Sarah did get pregnant and bear the promised son Isaac. David, he did kill Goliath. The walls of Jericho did come tumbling down. Esther did save her people from annihilation. Caleb did march into the promised land. The wise men did follow the star and find the Messiah. Peter, he did walk on water. Blind Bartimaeus, he did become a seeing man. Mary, she did give birth to Jesus. And Jesus Himself, He hung on the cross. But 3 days later, He got up out of the grave and was resurrected for you and for me. Amen.
That's Priscilla Shire from True Woman 12. To hear that entire message, visit reviveourhearts.com. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss-Walkelmuth is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.